Siren, the news is that Shannon Sukumaran will probably be transferred to the site of the execution this week, probably tomorrow. At this late stage, is there anything else that Australia could be doing diplomatically, up to and including perhaps recalling its ambassador?
I think so long as there is hope, Australia has to do everything that it can do. It's been making representations to the Indonesian government repeatedly over the last 10 years, but obviously that tempo has increased over the last 2 months, and I expect it will continue to make those representations as often as it possibly can, so long as there's still some hope. With regard to recalling an ambassador, there is no Australian ambassador in Jakarta right now. We're actually just in a normal phase in which Australia, the previous ambassador has returned to Canberra, and the new ambassador, while he is in Jakarta now, is not yet the ambassador because he has not yet presented his credentials. The Indonesians bringing in new ambassadors to present their credentials in batches of six. There are currently four ambassadors in Jakarta waiting to present their credentials, but that hasn't happened yet. So the Australian embassy is currently led by a chargé d'affaires, and presumably the discussion will surround whether or not the chargé will be recalled or the incoming ambassador will be recalled.
And the other option that's been discussed a little bit, I think including by the Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, is this idea of boycotting Bali. What do you make of that?
I think it's important to note that Julie Bishop over the weekend did not suggest that Australians boycott Bali. She just simply suggested that they might reconsider their holiday destinations. But I think it's, while it's possible that those who are urging a boycott are well-meaning, it's really based on a profound misunderstanding of the situation in Indonesia, and it would also be extremely counterproductive. I can understand if there are some Australians who will feel like they don't want to holiday in a country that retains this vestige of the 19th century. I wonder, by the way, if they feel the same way about the United States and China, which execute far more people per year than Indonesia does. But you know, again, I can understand the sentiment. But you know, first, I would say three things. First, many Balinese oppose the death penalty and have urged the government not to go through with the executions. Second, Bali will be just fine without a marginal drop in tourism from Australia. Europeans, Asians are continuing to visit Bali, so this is an empty threat. But tossing around threats, even if they're empty, is profoundly counterproductive. Most, not all, but most Indonesians, particularly those who lead its government, are fiercely defensive of its sovereign prerogatives, including, and maybe especially, the right to enforce its laws against foreigners. So because of centuries of colonialism, they view the achievement of sovereignty as the Indonesian people's greatest achievement. So foreigners threatening to take a go at Indonesia, if they do not change their laws to our liking, will only cause many Indonesians, even those who are sympathetic to arguments to abolish the death penalty, to resist that foreign pressure. This is why the Australian government has wisely, I think, been so low-key about its representations on Shannon Sukumaran's behalf up until now.
Now, you say that the Balinese are opposed to the death penalty. That raises a wider question in my mind. Is there hope in the longer term for reform of capital punishment in Indonesia?
I think there is hope. Unfortunately, this is a tremendous setback. The five executions that we saw last month and the executions that we're likely to see throughout this year, Jokowi has said that up to 60 drug offenders would be executed this year. But there's been a debate over the last 10 years in Indonesia about the death penalty. In fact, there was a constitutional court decision in 2008 in which three of the nine justices said that they would have preferred to have abolished the death penalty for drug crimes. Not all crimes, but drug crimes, and that was a start. And even more importantly, the foreign ministry, which is out there day in, day out, arguing on behalf of the Indonesians on death row in other countries, in Malaysia and the Gulf states, they understand that it's very difficult for Indonesia to go out and argue on behalf of its own citizens against the death penalty while maintaining the death penalty at home. And as a result, its vote in UN bodies about the death penalty issue has changed over the last 10 years. So there is a real live debate in Indonesia. And while two-thirds of Indonesians still support the death penalty, generally the abolition of the death penalty is led by elites in each country. And so I think there is real prospect for the abolition of the death penalty in the years to come. Unfortunately, I fear that it will be too late for Chan and Sukumaran and the other 58 inmates on death row in Indonesia right now.
So let's say then that the diplomatic efforts we talked about earlier fail over the next few days. What then for Australia-Indonesia relations in the period immediately after these executions? Can things go back to normal, or will there be a fallout?
Well, Prime Minister Abbott has said that he would not allow the relationship to suffer as a result of the executions, which, you know, again, we hope don't go forward. But I think that this is not entirely in the Prime Minister's hands. I am not sure that the Indonesian side appreciates the anguish that has overtaken those folks who have been paying attention in Australia to the Chanan Sukumaran's case. It's been very prominent in the media recently. And I think there will be tremendous pressure on the government to take some form of action, particularly because it was Australian Federal Police intelligence that led to the arrest of Chanan Sukumaran in 2005. So certainly there will be pressure on the government to curtail some of that cooperation with Indonesia in the weeks and months to come. Ultimately, it is in Australians' interest to make sure that this is a strong, friendly relationship. So there will be many more consular cases in Indonesia in the months and years to come, given the number of Australians who go to Indonesia regularly. And it's in Australians' interest to make sure that there's a strong relationship with strong representation in Jakarta that has access to the government to argue on behalf of Australians who find themselves in difficult situations.
Aaron, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Sam.